2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 says, "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith, not in fear, not in doubt, not in sickness, not in financial prosperity, but in faith. And love which is in Christ Jesus." It's talking about faith and love. "That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the power of the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in me." Somebody say me. Another rendition says, "You've been trusted with a wonderful treasure. Guard it with the help of the Holy Ghost, which lives within you." 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. The word of the Lord says, "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound." The word of God is not limited. It's not weak. The word of God is not frail. The word of God is not chained up. The word of God is not bound. I want to preach and talk to you this morning on this thought. Take heed to the word of God. Would you lift your hands up to the Lord? I know you got your Bibles in your hand. You should at least. But would you just lift your voices unto the Lord? Come on. Would you lift your voices all across the sanctuary this morning? Father, we thank you. We love you this morning. We pray, would you help Pastor pray? We ask that you would move in this house, God. We have felt your presence here this morning, God. But we ask, God, that you would help us to be doers of your word, God. We cast aside any doubt, God, any frustration, Lord, any, God, confusion, God, any distraction, Lord. But we pray the infallible, inspired word, God, that would pierce our heart. It would challenge, encourage, and edify and convict us, Lord. In Jesus' name, God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. Paul, the apostle, is writing to his son, Timothy. His son in the gospel, Timothy. And this is the second of two letters written by Paul to Timothy. 2 Timothy was written shortly before the apostle Paul's death. And it was what we understand to be his last recorded written epistle. The apostle Paul was giving Timothy some very clear and encouraging words of wisdom and admonishing Timothy. These four chapters are filled with strong words of warnings, but they're also filled with words of encouragement. This book here is one where it would be where this elder, the apostle Paul, was writing to the next generation and saying, I need to inform you of some things that he was seen in the Spirit, by the help of the Holy Ghost, he began to write. And so he would write and give us warning. He would tell us today in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, he says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." When you look at that word sound, it means a self-controlled mind, a mind that is clear, it has got a mind that can be brought under subjection to the Word of God by the help of the Lord's love and by the power of the Holy Ghost, which resides in us. Words of truth that the Apostle Paul, that we're blessed today to have and to read. And Paul was under arrest at this time. He was literally bound by shackles and chains in a Roman prison. And he's writing to Timothy, to the church or churches in Ephesus. And one thing in particular we need to understand, that Paul was in a place that it even took his friends a little while to find out where he was at. You read, I believe it's in the 17th verse, he says, "But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me." It would allow us to understand that Paul's whereabouts was probably not just well known. So they probably had him isolated. They may have had him in a, what we would understand today, in within the inner place of the prison, or under under supervision, where they didn't want this man of God to have access to those. And so Paul's writing from a place of loneliness. He's writing from a place of isolation. The Apostle Paul is writing from a spiritual father perspective. He was the prophet, the man of God, the leader, the influencer. He is arguably one of the greatest to have lived in the New Testament. And so he's writing and telling us that folks are going to fall away, that folks are going to get lost on their journey with the Lord. They would even forsake their walk with God. But he tells them, and he tells us today, that the Lord stands with us and the Lord will deliver us from evil. Notice what he's telling us in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 17. He says, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." I don't know about you, but that's encouraging this morning to know that the Lord stands with us and that the Lord strengthens us. And notice what it says in verse 18, "And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom." Can I tell you that the Lord has always been about the kingdom? It is always about the kingdom of heaven. It's not about our kingdom. It's not about the kingdom of the USA or the kingdom of the United Nations, but it is about the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We are a kingdom people. We are about God's kingdom. We need to be about the kingdom's work. We need to look and feel and follow and respect the kingdom. We got to take heed to the word of the kingdom. The word of God is about the kingdom. And he says, "The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom." Paul is telling Timothy in our scripture text to hold fast to the form of sound words, not words that are confusing, not words that are disillusioning, not words that are contrary to the things of God. But he says to hold on to those words which you have heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. But he says, That good thing that was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. I believe that sometimes we're surrounded by people, places, and things that are not sound words. And then we hear them, but they're not words of faith and they're not words of love. And then it's contrary to the Holy Spirit. It's contrary to the Holy Ghost. It's contrary to biblical truths and absolutes and principles. And so Paul is telling Timothy and saying, "Hey, I need to remind you of who you are. I need to give you some encouragement and some instruction about who God is." And we know that God is all powerful and He's immutable. He doesn't change, and He's omniscient. He knows everything, and nothing catches God by surprise or off guard. And we know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And who Timothy was a God-appointed man for his time. And he was entrusted with the message of truth. He was entrusted with the gospel, which was given to him by the Holy Ghost. And all this leads down to a path in which the Apostle Paul would tell Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He tells them what's about to happen. You can read it for yourself this week. He writes 2 Timothy chapter 3, 17 verses. Not all positive, but it's instruction. And he allows to give Timothy some foresight about what's about to happen and what's about to take place. But could I tell you, we're blessed this morning because we have the completion of the entire Bible. You know that all Timothy had was just a letter. All he had was one or two letters from Paul, and he had the Old Testament. But can I tell you, the early church did not have what we have. The early church did not have the completed scriptures that we have. And we're blessed today to have the beginning, the middle, and the end of the book, and to know. So we need to take heed to the Word of God this morning. We need to understand that the Word of God is true. It always has been true. That the devil is a liar, and he's always been a liar. That there's going to be false prophets. There's going to be people in the church that are going to backslide. There's going to be people out of the church that are going to come into the church, and they're not going to look like us, because the 11th hour church is not going to look like the first and the second hour church, because they're just getting in and they're getting the Holy Ghost at the last minute and they're getting baptized in Jesus' name. Could I tell you, we're not going to compromise our lifestyle of holiness and our apostolic doctrine. But could I tell you, some of us need to take heed to the Word of God and understand that we're living in perilous times, and we need to see and hold truth to the Word of God, as the Scripture tells us. That God's Word's not bound. It's not frightful. God's Word is not scared. God's Word gives us insight and instruction.
Amen.
That's why Peter would write in 1 Peter chapter 2 and 11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims," because we're about the kingdom, pilgrim, "abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul."
Amen.
Fleshly lusts that war against the soul. God has called us. He has commissioned us. He has blessed us. Wow. But He's equipped us for such a time as this. Do you realize what's taking place in the world right now? Do you realize it? I feel the urgency of Noah. Get in the ark.
Yeah.
Stay in the ark.
Yeah.
Because the door is closing as we speak. In fact, the door of many churches, truth preaching churches and truth and non-truth preaching churches, are closing, and there's been limitations placed on, and there's been resources that have had to be considered and to be spent. Do you realize that it's costing churches more today financially? It costs Revival Tabernacle more money today to keep the church open than it did before, and to keep it closed. The easy thing would be just to do online webcasts every service. The easy thing to do is to not have church. But could I tell you, by the help of the Holy Ghost, as long as God allows, and He will, the church is going to be okay. The building, nobody freak out. The building that we know may change. It may be different. Everything's fine. I'm just setting a stage here. We got to understand that we're living in the last days. It is the end of the age. And the Scripture that we read today is God's Word's not bound. And we got to keep the faith in love and in power. We got to understand that God has entrusted something special to us.
Amen.
We got to take heed to the Word of God.
Yes.
Remember that the darker it gets, the more wicked the world becomes, the more disillusioned and confused people become. You've got to get back to the source.
Yeah.
Right. Of all that is true. Amen. And all that is right.
Yes.
And all that is perfect. And all that is just. If you ever wanted to see and read something that is perfect, it's right here. It's the Word of God. If there's something to be said about facts, and there's something that is to be said about what is true, this is factual. This is true. It always has been, and it always will be. It doesn't change. People change. People's levels of faith and power and understanding may change. But can I tell you, the Scripture doesn't change. The Bible has stood in the test of times. The Bible's gone through the dark ages. The Bible and the Scripture has gone through the new age. It's gone through the postmodern age. And it will stand on its own until the end of the age.
Right.
But we need to take heed to the Word of God.
Right.
The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 14 and 33, God's not the author of confusion,
right. But
of peace, as in all churches of the saints.
Amen.
I don't care if they have more degrees than a thermometer. If it's contrary to the Word of God, and it doesn't line up to the Word of God, Tell them to put their mask on and be quiet and go in the corner. Don't want to hear it. I'm standing on the Word of God. It's true. It always has been. It will always be true. And it stands on its own. Listen to Pastor this morning. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 6:3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. I like this next part. He is proud, knowing nothing. Is this the proper way? Tú no sabes nada? Yeah, they don't know anything. But dotting questions and strifes of words. Just think about what we're reading. 1 Timothy 6:4. Wherefore cometh envy, strife, railings, and surmising, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. You know what Paul says? Withdraw thyself. Tell them, put your mask on, stay in the corner. But I'm going to take heed to the Word of God.
Amen.
I'm going to abide by the Word of God. The Word of God tells us what's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth shall pass away. Okay, we know that, right? So, in order for heaven and earth to pass away, right? In order, it has to take place. There's got to be a generation that'll see heaven and earth pass away.
Yeah.
What part of the scripture do we want to apply to our lives? We got to apply it all and say, you know, we could very well, and I believe, Pastor Panero believes, we are the generation that will see the second coming of the Lord. And guess what? We need to take heed to the Word of God daily. It's got to be daily. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeded out of the mouth of God. Why would you not want to hear or read or understand or even, just try to attempt to get into your mind and your spirit what the Word of God says. Notice this. Notice what the Scripture tells us. For we brought nothing into this world.
Right.
1 Timothy 6:7. And it is certain we can carry nothing out. So let's apply that to our Scripture text this morning.
Amen.
Hold fast the form of sound words. In faith and love, that good thing which was committed unto us, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. Let's take heed to the Word of God. Notice what James 1:21 tells us. Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to make you rich and prosperous. Right? Receive the engrafted Word, which is going to make you feel good all the time. No. The engrafted Word, which is able to save your soul.
Amen.
For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, you're deceiving your own selves. You're not deceiving the Lord. You're deceiving your own selves. Listen. If there has ever been a time for us to remember the admonition of the Apostle Paul, it's today. The reason why so many folks in the church at large, not just I'm talking about just the church at large, people, so many folks out of the church and in the church are easily confused, fearful, divided, weary, distracted, offended, it's because there's a spiritual attack that is taking place on the people of God, and it's become intensified the closer we get to the door closing. It's become intensified on the people of God. That's what it is. That's why Pastor earlier this year started out with consecration, right? And blessings and harvest. I said, we're gonna increase consecration. I felt that in the spirit. And I had no, man, I, Wow! Had I known what I know now, I would have put us on a 30-day fast for the next 30 days until Jesus comes. What are you saying, Pat? I'm telling you, there's a spiritual attack against the church and the people of God. And it's not just on the pastors and the preachers, but it's on the saints. The scripture said he's going to wear out the saints. He's going to want to get us tired. That's why the scripture said, don't get weary in well-doing.
That's right.
You reap in due season if you faint not. But the closer we get to the trumpet sounding and the rapture, the spiritual attack is going to be intensified. That's why we got to pray more. We got to read more. That's why, Pastor, if you notice, we've got something going on 3 and 4 times a week. We're having more church and Bible study and devotions now than ever before. I'm not letting up. We may not congregate like we used to, but we're going to have opportunity every week if you so choose and desire. I'm going to schedule it. We're going to put it out for you to be encouraged and edified. We're not going to wear you out spiritually. Don't worry about that. But I would rather you die from overdoing it on prayer and Bible study and Bible reading and worshiping than you die lost from sin and end up in the devil's hell. Let's take heed to the Word of God.
Amen.
A few months ago, things were different. Yeah. Try to plan for something now. Heed means to give careful attention to.
Yeah.
To have regard, to apply, to be mindful of. So we need to be mindful. The scripture tells us in Acts chapter 2 and 38, and Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We need to take heed to the Word of God.
Yeah.
If the scripture says in Acts 2 and 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, we need to take heed to the Word of God. There are no throwaway people. There are no people that are too far gone, that the love of God and the mercies of God, and if they repent, that God can't restore them. Saints of God, we need to take heed to the Word of God. If there are people that need to be restored, it's not your job to change them. It's your job to teach them, to love them, to show them, to invite them, to encourage them, and say, you know what? I don't want to offend you, but I'd love to pray for you. And if you won't let me pray for you now, that's okay. I'll pray for you at home. I'm going to pray for you because I believe that God's got something for you better than what you have right now. You may not realize it, but we need to take heed to the Word of God.
Amen.
Take heed. If the scripture tells us, and it does, in John 14 and 1, let not your heart be troubled.
Yeah.
You believe in God, believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions.
Yep.
Anybody got a mansion waiting for you?
Amen.
If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go. Jesus is saying, I go to prepare a place for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Yeah. So there's got to be things that take place in the world in order for biblical prophecy to unfold and to happen so that there could be the second coming of the Lord. It's got to happen. He says, I'm going to come back again and I'm going to receive you unto myself, that where I am there, you may be also. And whether I go the way you know, we got to take heed to the Word of God.
Amen.
Listen to Pastor Pinero. I've said this before. I'll say it again. I'll probably say it over and over and over again. But we are living in the end time. Biblical prophecy will be fulfilled whether we believe it, whether we want to, whether we understand it, because there's a lot of it Pastor doesn't even understand, whether we can wrap our mind about and say, that man, that's crazy, that's far out. Biblical prophecy will be fulfilled regardless, but how it's fulfilled in our life is up to us.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
That's right.
We need to take heed to the Word of God.
Amen.
The world may be toxic. Yeah. People may be offended. Yeah, things may be kind of freaky, right? Just kind of crazy, right? I mean, head shaking crazy. People are bound. People are addicted. People's level of commitment is shaky. Folks are bound by sin. People are bound by depression. They're bound by addiction. We know this because that's what some of us were before we were filled with the Spirit and baptized in His name. That's who some of us were. That God brought us out of that stuff. So if God did it for us, He can do it for somebody else. We need to take heed to the Word of God. He says in the last days, I'm going to pour my Spirit out upon all flesh. It's revival time. It's not time to run like I preached last week into the caves and the hive. It's revival time. It's time to be informed and to be careful and make good decisions and wash your hands like you should, like we all learned in kindergarten. Come on. Do we got to be reminded every day? You got to wash your hands with soap. I mean, seriously, I learned that at 2 years old, but I guess people, they forgot. So we're going to remind them, wash your hands. But while you're washing your hands, wash your heart. Create a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me, oh God. Take heed to the Word of God.
Amen.
Scripture tells us in 2 Timothy 2 and 9, the Word of God's not bound. It's not, the Word of God's not on quarantine.
No.
The Word of God's not dead. It may be dormant in some people's life, but the Word of God's not dormant.
No.
The Word of God is life.
Right.
It's fluid. Come on, somebody. The Word of God is powerful.
Yes,
it discerns things. One of the reasons why folks are still level, some folks are still level-headed, it's because they've been taking heed to the Word of God.
Yeah.
They've been reading the Word of God, and that's all they've been reading. Can I tell you, there's scripture in here about sanitation. Yeah. Sometimes I feel, well, let me stay on track. The Word of the Lord says in Hebrews 4 and 12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Let's make no mistake about it. The Word of God is not just confounded to the Bible, but it's also the spoken Word of God. It's also the preached Word of God. If the man of God begins to preach and teach and minister under the anointing, you ought to reach out and grab whatever it is the man of God is saying and take heed to that. If it's a devotion on Zoom, if it's Sunday school curriculum, God bless our teachers that are sending it home. Just like for the last several months, parents, you became principal and teacher and student for your kids, whether you realize it or not. That's not just for secular education. That we have the same spiritual mandate obligation to teach our children. Come on, somebody. To teach our children. Our Sunday school teachers are making it way too easy for us to teach our children. They're giving them goodies. And today all the kids are going to get a Frisbee. And in that bag is Sunday school curriculum. Teach it to them. Read it to them. Don't put a guilt trip on the church or Sunday school or to get say, well, we're not having, oh, we're having Sunday school. Sunday school's going home with you, baby. You teach it. You show them. You lead them. They're your kids. It's your home. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How blessed we are to live in these last days.
Yeah.
Pastor, aren't you concerned? Yeah, let's be honest. Who isn't?
Right.
Then you go back and read the book. You look in the mirror. Say, well, I'm responsible for myself.
Yeah.
And every knee's going to bow. And every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm going to make sure that I'm ready. And I stay ready. And I don't get distracted.
Amen.
And I take heed to the Word of God. If you're taking notes tonight or this morning, I'm coming to a close. Psalmist tells us in Psalm 119 and 9, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Then the answer is, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Next verse says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. The gospel of truth, the message of hope and salvation, the Acts 2:38 message, the prophetic utterance, the doctrine, the convicting words of preaching and Bible verses are not bound only to a building or a pulpit, but it's been loosed all over the airwaves of radio and internet, social media. It's been loosed on smartphones and apps. It's allowed us the opportunity to listen and to hear. But Luke 11 and 28 says, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the words of God and keep it.
Yeah.
We can't just box up the Word of God for Sundays or a Friday night devotion. But we have to have a daily desire and hunger and partake of that hunger from the Scripture every day. Scripture tells us in Romans 12 and 2, and be not conformed to this world. Somebody needs to go back and do a study on that Bible verse this week. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's going to end with the mark and the sound of the trumpet.
Yep.
Where will you stand as we stand this morning? Titus 3 and 5 says, by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. We gotta do as Paul wrote to Timothy. We gotta hold fast.
Yeah.
Gotta hold fast to the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me. 2 Timothy 1 and 13. In faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. The good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in me. Somebody help Pastor. I need that table. We over the last several months, bring it up here so they can see on camera. Over the last several months, thank you. We've gone back to some things like putting puzzles together. The simple things in life. 200-piece puzzle. We've gone back to flying kites, playing frisbee, and we've got a picture of a puzzle underwater oasis. This is over 4 feet long, and we got instructions. Tells you what you're supposed to be seeing. But I have never opened up a puzzle. Counted to make sure there was 200 pieces in the puzzle. I'm not going to either. But I trust the maker. Trust the person that designed the puzzle. And each puzzle piece is important. Each puzzle piece is relevant to whatever the puzzle part has to be. But notice something. As the pieces of the puzzle are laid out and put together, and there's a picture and there's instruction, and it takes time to put a puzzle together. And not every piece, you can't make a piece of the puzzle fit into a piece that there's not a place for it. But the designer, the creator of the puzzle, specifically has a place for each puzzle piece. And as you get to the end of the puzzle, you begin to see, I got a few pieces left, and they all fit somewhere and their appropriate place. Can I tell you, we're getting down to the very end of the puzzle of biblical prophecy and end time. Where will you spend eternity? Will you be like the Revelation 3 church that's lukewarm? Or will you be an Acts chapter 2 church, people filled with the Spirit? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. We've got to take heed to the Word of God this morning. As we lift our hands and we lift our voices, let's talk to the Lord. Would you kneel at your seat? Would you lift your hands? Come on, somebody. I would ask you to gather your family together in your living room.
There's nothing
pray.
Worth more.
Talk to the Lord.
Come, close.
Come on.
Nothing can compare.
We're getting down to the wire. Take heed to the Word of God. It doesn't end with destruction for the people of God. There's a marriage supper of the Lamb. There's a new heaven and a new earth. A new Jerusalem. There's no more tear. That's for the people of God. But the door's closing. Precious saints of God. Come on, where will you spend eternity? Would you lift your hands? Would you lift your voice? Would you pray? Would you talk to the Lord? Come on, don't be distracted. Don't be confounded by this world. Be smart. Be informed. Be wise. Make good decisions. And no greater decision than to give your life to the Lord. There's no greater decision to walk according to the precepts of the Scripture. There's no greater decision to make sure your life abides by the Word of God and the voice of God and the man of God and to be subject to the Word of God. Come on, somebody. Come on. We're a holy people. We serve a holy God. If the trumpet sounded right now, what would he catch you doing? There are going to be people in church when the trumpet sounds. There's going to be people at work when the trumpet sounds. There's going to be people asleep physically when the trumpet sounds. Somebody's going to be in a business meeting or at lunch.